Good morning.
Good morning, Lord.
This week is Thanksgiving. And families are going to be getting together, and I think typically the host is going to do the main course, right? And then the people that come are going to bring side dishes, right? What do you anticipate the mood will be at these gatherings? Tell me.
Gratitude.
Gratitude? What else?
Thanksgiving.
Joy.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Love.
Love.
Remembrance.
Remembrance.
Gratefulness.
Gratefulness.
Apprehension about what might happen with the relatives.
Well spoken. Apprehension about what might happen with relatives. But it's family, right?
Right.
And in the course of the meal, people are talking and having a good time, and they're interrupting each other, right? And it's all good, huh? Why is this different? Here. Think about it. I want to talk about our gatherings. I don't want to call it a service anymore. That sounds religious. Let's call it a gathering. Gathering, everybody brings something to share, right?
Amen.
We interrupt each other, but it's all in the spirit of love. Are we open to this?
Yes.
Good. That's excellent. You know, we can focus on lots of different things, but what do we really want? Why are you here? It's to get a big plate of food, right? But you brought some to share. Something in the spirit. A psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song, a word, a prophecy. Every one of us here have that.
That's right.
We're so serious when we come here. You know, and in the spirit of what I'm saying, if you get a word while I'm talking, come up and tell everybody. I'll step back. Because you know what? Our gathering isn't sacred. We're sacred. Our Father is sacred. We're getting together for a feast, to have fun, to talk, to listen, to love. What could be better than that? You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, if the way Terry's saying this, you know, what's going to happen? It's going to be out of control. Things might not get done the way they're supposed to, whatever that is. You know, we've got a preconceived notion of how we think things are going to go or how they should go. And then we work to make sure that it goes that direction. That's bad science. You know, when you have an idea of what the outcome's supposed to be, and then you do your experiment to make that happen, that's bad science. Isn't that right? Look at Jesus. He had 12 knuckleheads that he was going to turn the world over to. With just 3 or 3.5 years of work on them. You think he was a little stressed out going to the cross? I'm surprised he didn't say, instead of, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? Oh my God, they're not ready. It didn't limit him, did it? Well, now we're his knuckleheads. And you know what? He's not limited. Isn't that beautiful? He's got this divine deposit in every one of us. He's not limited.
Right.
So until we see ourselves as those blessed vessels carrying the divine treasure everywhere our feet take us, it's just going to be a little crippled. Every one of us here have something very, very important to impart to everybody else here. Amen. It's raining. It's good.
It's pouring down in the spirit in here. Cool.
Beautiful. You know, remember Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, the Jews seek a sign and the Greeks seek wisdom. What's your approach to God? You want a sign or you want wisdom? Think about that. It may change depending on our moods, but remember Jesus admonished this one group for following him. I don't know, it was around the lake or something. And he said, you didn't come to me because you saw miracles. You came because I fed you. But even if we're seeking miracles, it's not the right motivation. I like what David said in Psalm 27. He said, well, we better look at that. I don't want to butcher that one. Psalm 27. Let's start at verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek. One thing. Okay? He's got this narrowed down. To God, this is really where my heart is. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. That whole psalm is just awesome, but I love how David had it boiled down to that. You remember in Luke 10, Jesus came to Mary and Martha's home, and Mary just sat at his feet. And Martha, it says, Martha was distracted by all the things that had to be done. If she didn't do them, I guess there wasn't going to be a dinner. But I don't think that really would have meant much to Jesus, because he said, I have food that you don't know of. My food is to do the will of my Father. So you've got the contrast there of one who is lazy and doing nothing sitting at Jesus' feet. See, that's how we feel sometimes when we're not doing something. Or the one that's striving and really not getting anything out of it. If we're going to contribute to the service, to the gathering, pardon me, we must hear. You can't fix a dish of food to share without ingredients. Right? You got to go shop for the ingredients. Like Isaiah 55 says, come, buy wine and milk for free. Don't work for that which doesn't satisfy. Another good thing to read, Isaiah 55. So, you know, the word came December 27th. It's the oldest word on our website, a new season. What is the new season? It's the sound of many waters. It's the end of the sound of one water coming forth in a gathering. Many waters, that is what God wants.
Amen.
And this word has been hanging on us since then. It's the most important word for us. We're a family, and each of us needs to produce good, lasting fruit.
Right.
And there's so many expressions of fruit. So you don't have to be like anybody else. Isn't that nice? There's no ruler up here that the rest of the brethren are going to put anybody up to and say, well, you got to do it like this. It's not like that. It's just like the offering. You give what's in your heart. It's so simple. We don't have to work up a big thing. You know, I was so thankful that Marty came up and shared, and that Fred shared. That's the way it's supposed to be. See, there's a difference between dedication and revelation. Well, I thought we needed both. Well, I'm not sure. If you look at, I guess we could look at it. It's in Luke 5, and since we're in Luke, so maybe that's not a bad idea. Luke 5, 11. No, that's not it at all. I'm sorry. Well, you'll just have to find it on your own. I'll tell you about it. You remember the parable of the lost son? You know, he got half of his fortune, or, you know, half of the father's fortune, went out and squandered it.
Luke 15.
Luke 15.
All right.
So we do have to read it. All right.
It starts at verse 11.
Okay. Oh, I did write 15. I just couldn't see the one. It was light. That's part of the problem with my right hand, is that it's very difficult to write. So I don't want to read this whole thing. Let's go to 18. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he left. While he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring that Terry White made on his finger. And sandals on his feet. Can't miss an opportunity, you know. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. So you know what happened? The older son was out in the field, and he was not too happy about this display of gratitude and love. So here's the question. The older son had dedication, but he didn't really know the father. He didn't know his heart. The younger son, who had ruined his inheritance, had a revelation of the father's heart. He didn't have any dedication. except to his own hungers. Which one's the remnant of God? The one who stayed in dedication or the one that had a revelation? What's the church going to be filled with? That's not a pretty question, is it? It's up to each of us to decide what camp we're going to be in. Are we satisfied with going along with it? Or do we hunger for a revelation? See, Galatians 5:6. Anybody have the Message Bible? I didn't want to bring it. It was too much to carry. But basically, you know why Paul wrote Galatians. You know, the people there were born of the Spirit and they were incorporating the law into it. And he wanted to straighten them out. And in the Message, I like the way it says. It says, neither your most conscious regard or dedication or your conscious disregard means anything. The only thing that matters is faith working through love. So none of that dedication stuff matters. It's faith working through love. So when we come together for our gathering, our celebration, our feast in the Spirit, if we have faith working through love, everybody around us is going to be blessed by us. If you're sitting there and you are thinking of a song, walk up, get it, put it on, lead it, sit down. How's that? Why not? I think 1 Corinthians 12 spells out all that stuff. It says if one is speaking and somebody else has a revelation, the one should stop and let the other one talk. Have you read the book of Revelation lately? Well, if you read chapters 1 through 3, they're letters to various churches, and they all end with a paragraph that has in it, to him who hears, to him who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. That's every one of us, our responsibility in this new season. Each one needs to hear what the Spirit is saying to the body of Christ. Now, how do you hear? You listen. That means maybe turn off the TV or the radio. Go find your quiet place, your secret spot, and listen. Very, very important. Because if we, like I said before, you can't bake a dish with no ingredients. So when we hear, we get the ingredients, and then we can mix them the way God shows us and speak them to various people. And sometimes you don't have to say a thing. I went to breakfast yesterday with a woman and her daughter. They're going through some really hard things right now. And I was all fired up to minister, you know, do some serious stuff. Nothing like that happened. But I was listening to the Lord before I went, and I was listening to the Lord during it. And it was just an opportunity to love and give grace be supportive. No big deal. And she bought lunch or breakfast, so that was a good thing. That's always good, isn't it? I'm practical. There's three. I think I'll finish up with this. I pretty much covered all of my notes. But there's three scriptures in the Old Testament that mention the same thing. And I'll give those to you. We're not gonna look them up today. Exodus 23:15. Man, what a chatterbox. Exodus 34:20 and Deuteronomy 16:16. All three of them say, they're talking, you know, God's talking to the Israelites when they come together for their feast. And this is what this is. It's a gathering. None shall appear before me empty-handed. Now, I'm not trying to put a harness of law on your backs. I think it's just wonderful advice. You know? I think it's in the spirit of what God's been showing us about the new season of responsibility, that this is right in line with that. So I bless you in your hunger for this. I bless you with courage to speak the word of God in songs, hymns, whatever expression he gives you. If you're going to get up and do cartwheels, that's fine too. It'll be a little weird, but it's fine. But most of all, I bless you to hear. See, because in Revelation, in that same paragraph, it says, to him who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It also says, to him who overcomes, I'm going to give. So this is paramount to being an overcomer. We must hear what he's saying to us as his loved ones.
That's right.
God is very passionate about us. He loves us so much. He's protecting us from so much. We all go through stuff. But how much stuff we would go through if he didn't have a wall around us? It would be scary. So the stuff that we do go through, be thankful for it, because it's probably by his hand and it's a training tool. But he's zealous for his people. He's going to speak to us to enrich us, and he's going to speak to us for things to pass on. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm so thankful that you're my family. I really am. I can't think of what it would be not to have you as my family. Thank you. Amen. Oh, Exodus 23:15. Exodus 34:20 and Deuteronomy 16:16.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah.